Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
You love those videos each week? So good. My favorite is Little Zeke, chicken burger. That's my jam right there. I love some chicken burgers too, from Holy Chick-fil-A. Good morning. My name is Daniel, pastor here at the Bridge Church. We're honored that you would be here. As you can see, we're in a series called A Day in the Life, where we get to highlight stories and look at real life in our everyday lives of people in our church. And so it's been really encouraging for me just to lean in and to see what happens during the week. And then also, we are in a book study. We're studying the book of Mark. And so today, we're in Mark chapter 7. If you want to look at some of our other messages leading up into the series, the big idea, the big picture is we're taking our big faith, some of that big theology, and how do we pull that down into our everyday life? And so if you want to go back and catch up on some of those messages, you can on our website. You can see that there. But today we're in Mark chapter 7, and we're going to be in starting in verse 6 and kind of work our way down, but Mark chapter 7. But I just want to pray for us, ask God to speak during this time, and we'll be there in just a few minutes. Everybody feel good? All right, very good. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, thank you for the opportunity to be together. Thank you for this beautiful day that we get to soak in the sunshine. And thank you for each and every person that's here in this room, but also listening online. God, I know that it is not by mistake, God, that you're moving inside those details. And I pray that you would speak to our heart. I pray that I would decrease so that you may increase. I pray the Holy Spirit moves, and God, you do what only you can do, and that is change hearts and change lives. And we love you and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
So we're talking about, the title of my message today is The Real Thing. The Real Thing. And so I came across this story and I loved it. The farmers, which I didn't even know this was a real thing, the farmers have this group where they come together, I guess just like anything, and they research and do different things, experiment with fruit and the different crops that they're trying to grow. Well, they came together and said, I wonder if we can get together and grow the world's largest strawberry, where it is the largest, it looks good, it's luscious, it's red, like it is beautiful. So they got together, they started modifying it genetically a little bit. They grew this strawberry and they succeeded. I mean, this thing was giant. It was amazing. And in fact, it looked so good. I mean, it was like, look, juicy and red. And it's like, I need me some strawberries. Well, the problem is they got it and then they bit into it. And then they soon realized what they had genetically modified was they took all the sweetness out of this strawberry. So they got it. It looked good, right? Like from the outside, this was like, this thing is amazing. This is going to be incredible. The best thing ever. But then when it actually came down to what it was intended for, right? Like the reason it was created for fruit to taste that, they bit into it and all of a sudden everything was gone. And so basically, I love that story, but when I think about the real thing and I think about Christianity, I think about church, and sometimes I can feel like, even for my own life, like, am I just that same thing? Where, or maybe you have felt this before in your life, or maybe you've seen this or battled with this before, where it's like everything looks good, right? But then it's like, am I missing out on the joy? Am I missing out on the sweetness? Am I missing out on the true essence of our faith? And how do I get back? How do we make sure that we're tuned in, that we're connected to that life-giving source, that where we can really enjoy God, we can really have peace in Him, and see the fruit in which He actually intended for our Christian life and our Christian walk. And as we're thinking through that, we look here in Mark chapter 7. And Jesus actually sees this in a group of religious leaders, people who God has called out and said, I want you to lead my people through the Old Testament. And there's these particular religious groups that were created. And one was called the Pharisees, which you've probably heard of or maybe seen in the Bible, where they were more of these radical groups of religious leaders where they took the Old Testament laws and read through Leviticus. But then that wasn't good enough for them. So they created these like sub-laws and all these things. So if God said you can't work on the Sabbath, they were like, hey, let's get practical. Let's make a list of what that means. And so, like, you can't carry your mat. You can't do this. You can't do that. Hey, let me get the time frame it needs to be on. And all of a sudden, they took a command from God and then turned it into, it kind of evolved more into what man had created and what man had thought. It was intended originally for good. And so Jesus comes, and as we know, as we read the Old Testament, about the only time that Jesus really loses it or Jesus really is harsh with someone, it's with these religious leaders. It's with these guys who are going, look, you missed the mark. Like you were headed on the right path, but yet you're missing what it is. And so during this time, Jesus starts to minister. And as we've read through the book of Mark earlier, crowds are showing up to follow and learn from Jesus. And then the Pharisees come and they call Jesus and his disciples out because there's this tradition of where they must clean their hands. And so they call the disciples out that they haven't followed this tradition. They haven't followed what they're calling this command. And they're using God's name to push this tradition. And so Jesus gets upset and he uses some pretty strong language with these people here. And this is what we're going to read here in Mark chapter 7. It starts in verse 6. Everybody good? All right, verse 6, it says, he replied. So this is Jesus replying to them saying those remarks and calling Jesus and the disciples out. He says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it was written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Jesus, I mean, he is straightforward. He calls mine. He says, look, you're kind of like that strawberry. I mean, you look good. Your lips are going. You're standing up there. You're declaring these beautiful prayers. You look good with your robes and the tassels and all of those things, but yet your hearts are far from me. He's saying you're missing the mark that when you get into the inside, when you see that it is way off base. You're not experiencing actually what I've created you to experience. And the deciding factor that he uses here, he says that you have taken a command of God, and then you've made a human tradition that fits your logic, your framework, and you've now elevated that above God's commands. Or you've tried to place it as God's commands, and you're holding people accountable to what I did not originally call them out to hold them accountable to. And so we see this play out. And so Jesus, I love Jesus because he doesn't just call them out, but then he tries to teach them because he is the way and the truth and the life. And so we're going to skip down to verse 14, and then he starts to teach on this, what this looks like. And he reads here, again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside of a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. Are you so dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of their body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Verse 20, he went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is written, out of a person's heart that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Jesus stops them. And he says, what I was just saying, calling you out, I want you to understand that it's not what goes into a person that defiles them. And he's really, practically in the context, he's talking about, because if you were to follow the Old Testament, the Jewish tradition, they had certain things they could eat and they couldn't eat. And so Jesus is coming saying, I fulfilled all of that for you. And so now I want you to really understand that you can focus on, he says, the greatest commandment, loving me and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And he's teaching us this principle, this New Testament, right? This new covenant between his people. And he's saying that now whatever you eat, I want you to be free to live for me. And think about the disciples, how they were trying to follow these traditions and they couldn't eat certain things, and imagine them going out and planting churches all around the world, and now they can't eat in some places, or they can't go into certain houses. And so Jesus is like, I'm taking all that off of you. I'm taking all that strain. I'm loosening that. So now all you focus on is a relationship with me. You focus on my word. You focus on advancing the gospel. And we see this. Jesus frees them of that. But then he goes in and teaches it. And he says, and he brings something that's pretty revolutionary. And I think it's revolutionary for us still in 2021 as well. Because he says it's not what goes into a person that defiles them, but yet what comes out. And it's, I think that is so powerful. And if you're taking notes here, one of the things that I want us to write down here, first point really is, the problem is internal before it is external. The problem is internal before it's external. And a lot of times, I know even for me and myself, when I look at my life, I try to flip those sometimes, right? Like the problem is external before it is internal. And I look at what's around me. I look at what's going on in my life. I'm like, because, you know, sometimes I can be a little controlling, or sometimes I can have those moments where it's like, if I want to change, I need to do it. I need to make this happen. Let me change what's going on around me. Let me do this at my house. Let me switch this around. And Jesus is going, if you really want to experience change, if you really want to experience a true life change, he said it starts internal. It starts with your heart, to look on the inside. And now we know that once we become believers in Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit that works with our soul, that works in our heart and begins to shape and to change our lives as well. And he's saying, I want to change that first, because what comes out of a person is what we see, that where it defiles them, what comes out. And so many times as I am walking with people as a pastor and talking with them, and it is so hard for me because sometimes I just want to give people a formula. I go, look, okay, here it is. Here's step one. This is what you do. Here's step two. Here's what you do. It's clean cut. There you go. You do that. There's your prescription. You're good, right? But it doesn't work that way, right? God is saying, no, you got to start internal, because every person is different. Every past is different. And God has wired us differently. And that is why I believe he sent us the Holy Spirit. And he's saying it is the relationship. And so my job is to help you discover how to interact with God on a daily basis, how to teach you to filter, and how to hear from God as he is shaping and changing you. And it's for me, I want to give you a formula. I want to go, here's step three, here's step four. Do you finish that? Good job. Now here's step five. You know, because it's so easy and it's so clean. I want that for my own life. But God is saying, look, I want you to walk with me. I want you to talk with me and allow me to shape you. I love this story. There's a pastor in Atlanta. Some of you may have heard of him. His name is Charles Stanley, and he's a well-known pastor, and he started teaching. And his son is also now a very well-known pastor. But one of my favorite stories of Andy talking about his dad as a parent, his dad, ever since he was like middle school on, he would come to his dad and go, hey, Dad, I'm trying to decide on this, or I'm trying to figure this out for school. What do you think I should do? And he said every time his dad would go, go pray about it. I want you to go pray about it. See, God will tell you what to do. Go pray about it. And he said he's remember as a kid being so frustrated, going, oh, I wish he would just tell me, right? But I love that, because he was teaching his son how to hear the voice of God, how to discern that. And of course, Charles explains this later. He's like, I was there to make sure, you know, but I wanted him to go to God first. I wanted him to experience that first. And I love this verse in Proverbs 4:23, and it talks about our heart. And when the Bible talks about our heart, it's talking about our inner being, who we are on the inside, our mind, our body, our soul. He's talking about what is happening in and through us. And so Proverbs 4:23 says this, makes a bold statement. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The Bible, Proverbs, such wisdom, he's saying, guard your heart, because everything flows from the inside of us and what God is doing in us. And so you and I, what I believe is a strong principle for us to guard our heart is that, this is the second point here, if you're taking notes, I take my internal struggle to God first. I take my internal struggle. The life change starts internal first. And so Paul describes this in the New Testament. He says, I take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And he is saying, the life change starts in the inner man. It starts in our thought process. It starts in our heart. And I believe a great thing for you and I to do is, if we're having an internal struggle, right, where we're toiling over something, we take it to God first, right? Because what I've seen sometimes is, sometimes we take it to Facebook first, right? Or we take it to Twitter first, or we take it to maybe a friend first, or maybe we take it to somebody else, and it's all of a sudden we're dumping all of that. And I believe a principle that one can shape our life and everybody's around us is that we take it to God first. We're saying, God, this is going on in my mind. This is going on in my heart. And what do you think I should do about this? I found my time later as I grow in my relationship with Christ asking God all kinds of questions. God, what do you think we should do about this situation? God, how should I interact with this person? God, they just sent me that email. Woo, hold me right. Like, God, what do I do? How do you want me to interact with them? What do you want to shape me? And all of a sudden, God starts to work, or he'll bring a verse up in my mind, or he'll my next reading that morning, it's crazy how good God is, and I'll read in Scripture, and I'll go, ha, oh man, God, you're so, right? Like, he just gives you some insight and some wisdom there, but take our internal struggle to God first, because then God is shaping us from the inside out. And we don't have to worry, because then if we're just focused on behavior, if we're just focused on trying to change the way we act, maybe you've heard this term behavior modification, because then we're just changing. And when I look at behavior modification, really it's just manipulation, right? It's, I'm trying to manipulate that person to do what I think they should do. And we see this a lot of time with the religious leaders and the Pharisees. Sometimes the human traditions help them out, help their church out. And so all of a sudden it was manipulating you to do one thing. But for me and for us, as we're following in our relationship with Christ, it's not about manipulation. It's about the heart of God and following the heart of God and believing that he is powerful enough to change my life. He's powerful enough to change your life and to walk with us each and every step of the way. And we see this beautiful picture. And so for you and I to know, how can I help not only myself, but those around me change from the inside out? And then the last thing that I want us to really get here is I brought these flowers up here, because we talk about the real thing. And I thought, what a really great illustration that God has given us as we talk about the fruit that we see in our lives. And the Bible compares the fruit to the actions that we see. And so we just read a whole list of negative fruit, right? That he talked about, murder, malice, all those, that huge list. But God also gives us fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And the Bible is teaching us that those fruit grow from what is in us, from deep down, right? And for you and I to see, and there's an incredible couple verses in John chapter 15 as Jesus extends this. He's not only, because Scripture interprets Scripture. And so as we read this here in Mark chapter 7, how there's negative fruit, God also teaches us how to produce the good fruit in our life. How do we see that fruit in our lives? And so in John chapter 15, this is what he gives us here. He says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That'll preach by itself right there. That is powerful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And Jesus, what John chapter 15 is showing us here, it's not a formula. It's not a step-by-step process. What does he say? He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. And he's saying the Father is the gardener. So he is the one that walks out into the garden. It says he's trimming things. He's cutting things away. He's shaping things in our lives. Anybody in here has got a green thumb? I mean, you could just grow good stuff, all the same. Nobody. Okay. Me neither. We're in this thing together, right? But what I love about it is because it takes time, right? It takes time to get out there. And if you ever see somebody that's really good at gardening and you go to their house, they're like on their knees, right? Like they're in the dirt. Their hands are filthy. They're cutting away things. Their fingers are prickly from the vines. They're in the mess of things. But yet their garden is beautiful. They see incredible fruit. And he doesn't give us a formula, because what he's saying is, if you remain in me, I'll take care of the fruit. If you abide in me, the Holy Spirit will produce that fruit in you. And how beautiful is that? That Jesus is like, I'm not even going to get, look, you don't even have to remember anything, but keep your eyes on me. Fixate on me. Learn from me. Do everything you can to get close to me and watch. Watch me work. Watch me produce those things in your life. And the last thing that I want us to get here is my relationship with God will produce the right fruit. My relationship with God will produce the right fruit. And if you don't see the fruit, you got to go back to the root, right? If you don't see the fruit in our lives, maybe we're seeing something. There are moments and seasons in my life where like, oh, why did I just say that? Why am I getting like so frustrated so quick? All of a sudden I'm seeing fruit. I'm like, oh, I got to get back to the root, right? I got to get back to what God is trying to do in me. And I love this because as Jesus is talking about the Pharisees, in this picture, we see two different flowers, right? We have in here, we have a mix of fake flowers and real flowers. And to the back of the room, right? Maybe up front, Jason's got really good eyes, so maybe he can see. But in the back of the room, you look up here and they all maybe look very, very similar or the same, right? Like they look very closely. And so as the world was looking at the Pharisees, or maybe the world looks at Christianity or the church, and they look, and it all looks real. But the problem with fake flowers are, right, once you get close, once you walk over here, these puppies right here are fake. So I'm going to pull these guys out. I pull these out. Ooh, they look good, right? And then, but I go try to smell them. No smell, right? I feel them. This thing is plasticky. Like, you know, like I can bend it. Like this thing is fake, right? And nothing is, I can come back the next day. It's still going to look the same, right? It's still going to look okay. If I go on Instagram, guess what? Still looking good, right? Like everything's flowing okay. But that's from a distance. But when I get close, it's like, oh, wait. I didn't think that's what church was about. Oh, I didn't know it was about wearing a mask and trying to pretend everything was okay, or, you know, like I didn't realize that was the way you treated people. Oh, I didn't realize that you were building fences instead of tables, right? Like I didn't realize that, because when you get close, it's like, wait a second, maybe there's something here. And this is, to me, this is the most powerful thing about the difference between fake flowers and real flowers is that fake flowers will never reproduce themselves. Fake flower, this is all you get. You can't even see that, right? Like I can't reproduce this unless I manipulate, right? Unless somebody else comes in and changes some things. But the way God has set it up in his grand beauty, these are the real puppies right here. Yes. Look at these things. Woo! This is so soft right here. I'm not gonna rub on it, but it smells good. It's soft. Even though it's disconnected, I put it in water, it'll still live for a little while, but it feels good. And how beautiful is it that this flower will naturally reproduce itself? This flower will send out all those crazy yellow thing that covers our car, right? And it will reproduce itself because that's the way that God created it. And God is saying that is life. That is true. That is the real thing. You and I don't have to manufacture or manipulate. All we do is try to get as close to Jesus as we can and to soak in everything that he is doing inside of our lives. And he says, I am the gardener. So when I see something in your life, I'll pinpoint that in your life, and I'll begin to trim it. I'll begin to clip it away. He's even better. He takes it a step further. He's like, even though there's good fruit in your life, I'm going to prune that so it's great fruit in your life. So that will just produce. So that will continue to grow. And I'm going to do something in you. And God is saying, the promise is to walk with me, to grow in me, be obedient to me, and I will take care of the life change in our heart. Our job is to hear what God wants us to do and obey, right? Because then there's a moment where he may tell us to do something. You're like, no, that's not for me. And this is so great because so many times in my life, when I first came to know Christ, I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me to do things. And at the time, I didn't know enough scripture. I didn't even know that was in the Bible. And I remember going back a year later and reading, going, hey, man, do you remember the decision we made? We felt like was right, that God was wanting us to do. It's right here, right, in the book of Proverbs. Like, how incredible is that? That the Holy Spirit was already working, and then it was confirmed in the Word, confirmed in Scripture that God is doing that. But you and I have to listen. And most of the time, what I've realized in my life, I have to slow down, and I have to stop, and I have to soak in His Word, and I have to trust God enough to slow down. I have to trust God enough sometimes to wait on the Lord to go, okay, God, what do you want to do here? God, what decision do you want me to make? How do you want me to interact in this life? And then sometimes God will just sneak up on you, right? And you wake up and you're like, oh, I got to go back and apologize for yesterday, right? Like all of a sudden it just comes over you because God's just working in you, and he's trying to prune that in us. He's trying to change that in us, and it becomes contagious because people get close to you and they're like, oh, this is the real thing. This is not some fake thing that you just show up on Sundays and you kind of sing for a few minutes, you take a couple notes, and then you go home, right, and put your fake flower back on the shelf. No, this is a real thing. It's God is shaping you. That's why our vision here at the Bridge Church is connecting people to Jesus daily, because that's our heart. If we can get you to Jesus, he's the one that'll guide you. He'll direct you. He's saying, I've come to give life. I've come to give it abundantly. And the enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy it. He's saying, so we as a church, all of our volunteer teams, like that is our heart, is to get you to Jesus, because he's the gardener. He's the one shaping. He's the one molding. He's the one directing our lives. And so for us, as I close and we get ready to sing one more song together, my question for us is, as the church, how can we get closer to this? How can we get closer to the real thing? What do you need to do in your life to go, you know what, yeah, this, I've been kind of walking around a little bit like this, and I'm hungry for the real thing. I'm hungry for a relationship with God. Fire truck, ADD. I'm hungry for the real thing. I want a relationship with Jesus. Because if you show me somebody that's hungry for Jesus, there is nothing that can stop them from getting close to him. If you show me somebody, we read in Scripture, the people that are desperate for Jesus are the ones he reaches down and goes, oh, that's the faith. That's the faith right there. That's the one. Now I can work in their life. Now I can help them. But what it takes is you and I taking the mask off. You and I taking the thing that we feel like we have to manipulate or to put a front on and going, God, this is what's going on in me. This is not what the world sees, but God, this is what's going on in me, and I need you to work in it. I need you to heal me in it. I need you to work in my life. I'm taking my direction from you, Jesus. And we have to be bold enough to say, yes, God, whatever that may look like in my life, I'm ready to do it. I'm hungry for your presence because it's the real thing. It's that fragrance of God working in our lives. So I wish I could come up here and give you a list and say, well, here's the things. But what I want to do is just take a moment, maybe during this response song or maybe today and even this week, just saying, you know what? I'm hungry for your presence, God. Maybe you say this prayer, God, I want you to show up in my life. Maybe it's an internal struggle that you're battling with. Take it to God first. God, this is what's going on in my life. Let me take it to God first. Now, I am 100%, and it is biblical to have godly community, but I'm saying take it to God first. Allow him to help you get your thoughts and how he's working inside of your life together. And then the Christian community comes alongside, and they'll confirm what's going on in your life and going on in your heart, right? They'll continue to help you stir that up and to help that in you. They may even speak something into you that is from God, and God uses them to help shape some of that. But it's continued to be confirmed in Scripture, and as the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us. So whatever that may look like for you, maybe you've never given your life to Christ before, if you're listening online, we'd love to pray with you, help you take that step. Because it says that anyone that's not abiding in me, anyone that's not in me, they cannot bear fruit. They're disconnected. The fruit can't produce because they're disconnected from the vine. And Jesus came so that you can be connected to that life-giving vine. And so we want to pray with you if you've never given your life to Christ before. If you're online, you can click the link right there. It's the first link you see. And they'll walk you through what that looks like. And we want to help you walk in community. But I want to pray for us as a church. Because that's my prayer as a pastor. Because if I'm honest, I probably shouldn't say this, but we're in the South. There's a few different churches, right? In the South. But I'm hungry for the real thing. Not saying that that's not the real thing, but God's called us to be obedient where we are. I want Jesus. Ooh. Can we be a light on a hill that is hungry for his presence? I want to be a church that Jesus come. We want your presence in this place. We want when people get close to us, it's more confirmed. The fragrance gets heavier. It doesn't start fading, right? But it gets heavier, like, yes, these people are real. These people are together in this thing. Like, they trust Jesus. It's a little crazy sometimes, but they trust him, right? But to be in this moment of going, I want the real thing. And that's my prayer for you. I want you to experience the real thing. I want you to experience him. It's life-changing. I got to say, I've been praying a prayer. God set my heart and soul on fire for you. I've been praying that for about 10 years. And it's an incredible what God can do with an honest, open prayer. But let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. God, thank you for your grace. God, thank you that you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. That you don't come to complicate things, but you bring focus, God. That we can focus and give our lives to you. And you prune and you work and you shape and you mold, God. I pray that you would do just that in our hearts today. I pray that you would do that in our church, God. We are a church that is hungry for you, hungry for your presence, God. I pray that we would surrender anything in us, God, that may be holding us back and allow you to prune that, allow you to move and shake and work in that life, God. I pray that throughout this week that the Holy Spirit reveals some inner battles maybe we're having, that we can give that to you first, God. I pray that you move and work in our lives, God. I pray that you set our hearts and souls on fire for you because you're working in us first. God, I pray that we would be real before you. You already know, God, but I pray that we would be honest before you and can give our lives, give our worries, give our doubts, give our insecurities, God. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.